This is the One Episode. My name's G Money.
Andy Young.
Ashley.
And Pops times two. Oh, these guys love me, man. I was here last week. I'm here again this week.
You know, the thing about the One Episode is that, like, this week, Andy had to remind me to post. Was it Andy or Byron that had to remind me to post the audio of one of the episodes? And that's why I'm so happy that this episode is called the One Episode, because usually it drops on Monday, but it might drop on Tuesday this week. It's whenever.
You guys treat the One Episode like our main episode, the only episode we do. We only do one episode, so it's supposed to drop on Monday.
Right.
Monday, 10 p.m., call Kibbs. Kesho. Oh, then he'll sometimes blame Byron. No, Byron didn't send it to me. Oh, you know, I need to. You do what? Kibbs is.
By the way, Kibbs is not your friend.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you think it's possible for people to see as we grow, as we mature, we heal the traumas that we grew up with, and the ones that we saw our parents deal with that we wouldn't want to transfer to our kids, right? Mm. Or to the next generation. So do you guys think that maybe a couple of generations down the line, we're going to be having people who are experiencing life as should be? Like, because we've done the work, we've done the shadow work, we've healed from the trauma. So we are not passing on trauma to the next generation and to the next one. So by maybe X generation, they'll be able to actually live life how life is supposed to be lived. Like, they won't have to learn through the hard way. Like, you don't need to get into a relationship with someone who is emotionally unavailable for you to learn how to draw your boundaries, Andy, how to say no, Andy, blah, blah, blah.
Andy.
When you call me Andy, no, I don't.
Yeah, me too didn't sign up for that deep shit, bro.
Oh, damn.
No, I actually want to get... Today I'm feeling philanthropic.
Let's go.
No, I hear you, Andy, but I think different generations subscribe to different school of thoughts. Mm. So it might seem as if you beating at what you think might be a trauma might not be a trauma to someone younger than you. Say, for example, like the example you put out of emotional unavailability. Mm. You think maybe, oh, you know, I wouldn't want to get into a relationship with someone who's emotionally unavailable. But you'll find someone who's 13 years right now saying, I would never, like, give a girl my heart. I would never. You see, like, that type of thinking, like, you know, you can never be 100% with a girl. Mm. And they're younger than you. You think it's wrong. But when they're older, they will also pass it down to their child. Like, you know, you should never give a girl 100%.
Right.
So the dynamic keeps changing.
But this is the chicken and the egg theory. Because where did they learn that from? That I can't give a girl my heart. They had to learn it from somewhere. They had to pick it up from somewhere. It wasn't innate.
Mm. Okay,
when kids are young and very innocent, bro, you'll just be open. Today I saw a TikTok of a very young kid asking the mom, why a girl so pretty? And I was like, bro, even at my big age, I don't know about you, but me at my big age, I asked myself the same question. You know? Like, why are girls this pretty? Sometimes when I'm talking, when me and Ashley were checking out maybe some things and we see some pretty babes on social media and you're like, damn, you mean they make them like this?
But I think now that's where it's like a thought that you get at a certain age. So for example, yes, you learn it, but you've learned things that you later on realize, wait, this is wrong.
Yes.
But you can learn something and always think, yes, this is... Even right now, your mom can tell you, you know, Andy, I feel like, I don't know about, but let me say this, come and tell you, you know, Andy, at the age you're at, maybe get a wife, but you're like, nah, that's rushing it.
Yes.
So you you also can't say that it's something that they've taught you, but you've not picked it up.
Yeah.
Right. It will change. So even you, when you get a baby, you won't rush them because you'll be like, what, you're 30, not married? Don't rush.
Yeah.
But your mom, on the other hand, will be like, you're taking time. So I think it's something that keeps what you learn and think is right and what you give down and what they pick up is gonna.
So you don't think there's like a lineal progression?
No, trauma is here to stay.
I feel that.
I don't believe so.
At the same time, you'll realize that you actually do those. You action those traumas that you did not like, and you're just like, now it's up to you to be like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do that. Then you go back and maybe apologize and be like, I'm sorry that I didn't do X, Y, Z. But see, you've already passed
it
down.
It's going to happen.
It's already happened one way or another.
Yeah.
So it's already stuck in the back of the child's mind or someone's mind.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think also, like, personally, I come from a very affectionate family. like they like hugging each other and you know blah blah blah.
You don't know.
And international call. No, it's a meme. It's a meme.
You don't know much about affection for like a dad.
I'm one of the most affectionate people you niggas will ever meet.
Where was your dad? Did he give you the affection?
See, you said it was right there.
It was right.
I didn't need to get affection from my dad.
At the end of the day, like I'm the one who doesn't like being hugged. I'm the one who doesn't like being touched. You know, I'm like, don't touch me for too long. I come from a family who, you know, love touching each other and you know, feeling the love and shit like that. Mm. So yes, it is, you know, iffy, but some people actually just gravitate towards what they've actually been taught, and some people gravitate completely outside what they've actually been taught or what they've learned.
Mm. I think that trauma evolves. Just as life evolves and just as everything else evolves, this generation is going to have its, like you've said, is going to have its level of trauma. I mean, I always use the example, very, very simple example. If you guys were promoting the live event, the 20th of April, the Baddies, if you had to leave your house and go to every club in Nairobi and hand out posters, you'd be traumatized. You'd be like, yo, this is like the worst of the worst. Like, as in now you just create a poster, you put it on social media, blah, blah, blah. When I think about going back to those days where I had to physically go and give out flyers for events, it's like it was the worst thing ever. But now you guys will never, ever experience that. But then by the same token, there's somebody who's in their house right now traumatized because their friend is doing better than them on social media, or they see a type of lifestyle that they can't quite attain just yet. And now they've got social media trauma and mental health issues. So it's just going to keep on changing into different things.
100%. Yeah. It's like, even if you, not even trauma, say general perception of life, like you have the matutas on your head, right? So when Naizo Matuta, imagine, you see there's older people who are going to be like, we can't hire someone with the dreads, right? Mm. But if you were the employer, you don't mind someone who has dreads, right?
True.
Or piercings or even like whatever.
Yeah.
So you'd think that in future, it's not going to be a problem. Like there wouldn't be rules of dressing. But these are things that are here to stay. Because say, for example, if right now someone came in here sagging, are you going to take them serious?
Mm. Yes.
Okay, you're better than me. But see that? But there's someone my age who would be like, why the hell are you sagging? You get? So I think there's different ways of thinking that you thinking having dreads is okay. There's someone younger who will grow up learning, you know, dreads are not okay. And they'll be in a position where they're going to be like, I'm not going to hire anyone with dreads.
Right.
So there's always going to be that whole shifting dynamic.
I don't think trauma is here to stay. I think we are not doing all this work for it to be repetitive. I think we're doing all this work to like build on something. Cause if you found out that it's a hamster wheel that's never gonna end, then you're gonna give up. Cause what's the point?
Yeah.
But if you try make your experience as pleasant as possible and you pass this on to the next generation in a way where they will be able to make those decisions for themselves. Mm. For example, like say we have come from a generation where things happened to us, it didn't feel necessarily good, we learned from them, right? But what if we learned that, or I didn't have to take it personally, and whatever happened between me and the other person was showing more of who they were, you know? So me, I just decided to take it personally. I carried that burden for such a long time, yet it said nothing about me. It was saying more about the other person. So if I remove myself from that situation, and by learning that, you pass this knowledge down to the next generations where they won't be affected by situations the way we were affected by situations. And they'll be more of like, this is like what Gen Zs are doing. This is nothing to do with me. This is you projecting, and it needs to be addressed from that side.
Right, right.
Something that's just a random example.
I get what you're saying. So maybe, yes, the trauma will be there. The reaction is what's going to be completely different.
But it's not trauma if that's the reaction.
I feel like it is still trauma. The reaction is simply different. Mm. And I'll speak to it this way. Yeah. Like I personally, there are some traumas that I've clocked that have been in the family, right? Mm. But I react to them completely different. Mm. Like whereas someone else within the family will react to it, maybe cry or act out or whatever. Mm. I'll be like, okay, cool. Mm. You get what I mean? So my reaction is completely different to a trauma that has is still related to me in one way or another. Mm. So I think the reaction is what's going to be different, but the trauma is still there.
No. Let me ask you guys a question then, since we're deep and all that stuff. What do you think is a trauma that you've had to work on from childhood? And I'll go first. I think for me, the most traumatic thing that I had to work on, and I still work on to this day, is the fact that when I was growing up, I was always a responsible one. Not in the sense of like, I was always the one who did stuff. I was always the person that my grandma saw as, so if there was someone who had to go to the market who's going to go and get proper stuff, it'll be this guy. If there's somebody who you say, go and pay this bill, who's not going to lose the money, it's going to be this guy. If there's somebody you could leave with family members while you take the bad kids with you to the Caribbean and stuff, I was always the guy who was left behind. And I hated it. I hated it. And to the point where, you know, before my grandma would even finish the sentence, I'd say, nah, it's cool. You know what? Conrad will understand. Because Conrad always understands. You get me? But it's only as an adult I had to confront that, because I had to say to her, like, when I was growing up, I hated the fact that you guys always would, like, I was the guy who didn't need much. Was, you know, he's always well behaved. So you guys could leave me anywhere with anyone and never gave me the support that you gave to my siblings.
Yeah.
Because I was stable. And even in my life and how my life has evolved, it's replayed so many times as being the stable one.
Do you think it's positively or negatively affected your life?
I think for me, it's been 50-50. I think it's been, I wish, like for me, I feel like I've gone through life not asking for much. And I feel like it's only now I've come to a decision. Like, you know what? No, like we had a conversation last week, we were talking about cars. Like, so I haven't changed my car. I got a new car. And I literally spent a week talking myself out of getting a new car for self. Because I'm thinking, you know what? This money that I've got, let me use it to do this. That's going to benefit this. And that's a throwback from my childhood, I think. And I resent it. I fucking hate it. But it's so hard to unlearn that. Yeah. But me, I've been working on it, so fuck y'all. But that's what I'm trying to say to you. That's trauma that I feel that other people will be like, oh, if that's all the trauma you have, then you have no trauma. But the fact of the matter is, I think that we all carry something from being a kid.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I got that.
We get deep here, bro.
Well, I had that G saying when I was growing up. Well, me, I'm still growing up. And I'm thinking of like, say maybe being the firstborn, sometimes you feel like now I see my siblings sometimes maybe having things easier than I did. And sometimes it triggers me and I'm like, fuck off, man. Why? How come you can and me, I couldn't?
You like, got a nice life.
Yeah, you're having it so easy. Like, I wish I was you. So I think that's now the back and forth of trauma that I have. And I don't know now if it will change with my children. I don't know if I'm going to be strict or if I'm going to let them have their way. Same thing you said. I feel like it's a 50-50 turnout. Mm. Like today, I feel like maybe I'm a bit responsible. Maybe I was stopped from doing things. But I'm like, but my friends were doing it and we are still on the same place. Like, I could have just done it as well.
Time
with them. So I think that's what now me, I would say, is a battle.
Mm. Mm.
So I don't know how my kids will view me as like, will they say this is a strict dad, or will they say, this guy is letting us have our way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Ashley?
I think for me, probably two things. Firstly, I've always been the decision maker, which is very weird. Hence now, like in majority of my friendships, I try not to be, but when I'm pushed sometimes to only be the one who makes the decision. So it is a trauma that I've carried for very, very long. But even now, like, I panic out of making decisions for myself. And like, you'll notice I'm always putting it on other people to make the decision, like where to go, where to eat, how to, you know, do X, Y, Z. And the other one is being passive aggressive, which I think I've been and learning, and every time I catch myself doing it, I pull myself back and I'm like, okay, sorry, I wasn't in the space to actually talk to you or to be in the right mind. What were you saying, or how can we address it in a different way? So yeah, I think those are the two.
That's a nice watch. Sorry.
Thanks, bro.
Andy.
Thanks. Man, you know, for some of us who used to be caned in school for getting wrong answers, saying the wrong thing. So I think from early on, I used to be so fearful of saying the wrong thing or giving the wrong answer. Right. And I didn't see it play out. And I think I talked about this during the early days of the podcast when we used to talk about therapy. And I only learned this after uni when I was still going for therapy, when my therapist highlighted that you have an inflated ego in a sense because you don't want to be wrong about anything. Mm-hmm. You can't be wrong about anything. So I hadn't realized that, or it played out in its own way and kept building. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Mm. It's just that I can't be wrong. When you ask me if I know something, I'll really have to think about it. And sometimes I'll just go like, yeah, if I know you're not going to touch on it, I'll go like, yes, I know. Mm. Just don't ask me, Wagwan, because you have caught me.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so I used to be like that until I realized, by the way, why do I do that?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know why I do that. So until my therapist then highlighted that, I had to like really be keen and see where it comes out in my daily interactions, because I could tell, oh, this is... Some jokes started making sense to me then, because I remembered a while back, some of my friends used to say, Andy knows everything. Andy's a know-it-all. And it used to just lightly, because I never used to see it. Mm. You know, when you're in denial about being in denial, so you won't see it for what it was, or for what it is, rather. So I think I had to learn that you don't always have to be right, because what's the worst that could happen if you don't know something? Mm. The worst that could happen is you know, because you're going to find out
if
you don't know. So for me, that's something that I didn't realize spilled over into so many things, like also being a people pleaser.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I can't do you any wrong. And if did you any wrong, by the way, if any of my friends has ever come to me and told me that I did them wrong, I went into such a dark place. Because one, I know I do everything to make sure that I don't cross your boundaries. And I want to treat you the best way possible. Dizenenye, if this ends today, you'll know anyway that guy gave 100% in his friendship or in this relationship. So me doing that and finding out that it played out differently on the other side and I ended up hurting someone else, it takes me to a dark place. The same way Ashley says she starts maybe second guessing some of the things that she usually just, you know, don't even think about. That was me. I second guess the friendship. I'm like, damn, am I moving correctly? Am I doing this thing right? Am I talking properly? So I just had to learn to let it go. And more often than not, it also says a lot more again about the other people, because it's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
Right, it's right, not right. just me, you know? Mm. So I had to let go of my ego, be okay with not knowing. I didn't know it was a trigger.
Mm. Right. Okay. Wow.
Well, wow. Welcome into our souls.
There you go.
Therapy 101. You know,
no, and you know what? I must say, man, I love these conversations, man. So, yeah, whenever sold vibes, bruv. You know what I mean? My name is G Money.
Andy Young.
Ashley.
Adios, muchachos.